I'm going to be speaking this morning on a topic that hopefully will come up on the screen in a minute called Building on the Rock. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to be starting at verse 13. We're going to get straight into that now, really. So I say some of the words will be up on the screen there, as you see. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 13. Very well-known passage, I guess, to many folks here. And it goes like this. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yet just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Okay, so well-known scriptures, but pretty incredible, inspiring, challenging stuff in there, isn't there? And I really feel a couple of weeks ago when I was first starting to think and pray about a message this morning, what God wanted me to share, I felt God prompted me that this was a passage particularly focusing on this whole building on the rock thing that God wanted me to preach about. And so I set to start to do my usual thing, which was to think, right, I'm going to prepare and write my bullet points and put my notes together and prepare a half-decent preach for you folks to listen to and stay awake, hopefully, you know? And I had this thought come to me, which I really didn't like, and it was like, Steve, I want you just to read that passage and preach and not have any notes. I'm coming to that. Mum, give it a chance, don't, you know. And I was like, you're having a giraffe. No, no, no. I've just had a real hectic couple of months with moving house and my dad passing away and lots going on. I'm just feeling a bit tired and lazy. That's just me, yeah? So I went to, again, a few days later, I think, right, no, no, come on. I've got to prepare and pray about it. And I felt, no, you've just got to preach that passage and trust me. No, God, that isn't the way I roll. You know me, God. You've made me a certain way. You know, different people work different ways. God speaks through them, you know. So this is just me, isn't it? Well, anyway, long story short, this week, every time I've sat down and gone to try and prepare stuff and think, no, 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 I'm really not sure about this, there's been something I've read in the Bible, in my Bible reading notes, some other things somebody said. It's been one of those things where you're like, all right, God, I better just shut up and do what you've said, haven't I? You know, where it's been like, I really feel every time I go and do my natural thing, God is saying, I want you just to preach and trust me from this passage and speak my words without notes. And I think in many ways, that is really the heart of this message. It's kind of the more I've thought and prayed, but without writing any notes, Lord, the last couple of days about what to speak on this morning and what God's wanting to say through this, it feels to me like almost what God's asked me to do is something way outside my comfort zone, you know. But something that kind of personifies what Jesus was teaching in this passage. This whole thing of what building on the rock of Jesus Christ rather than building on the sand of the things of this world is really all about. It's that thing, I guess, of being willing to do whatever God asks you to do and being willing to step out of your comfort zone and do stuff that you feel really uncomfortable with. So here we go. Please, Lord, do something. It's funny as well. I mean, Mum mentioned just there. I used to have this running debate with my dad over the years, you know, about what is more spiritual. Where is the Holy Spirit really working? My dad often preached, and God moved through him that way with a passage given to him at the last minute or the day before or whatever, and wrote a couple of notes. And he used to all, we had not exactly differences of opinion, but debates over the year about it being more spirit-filled to do it that way. And me arguing, it's just as spirit-filled to prepare and plan and seek God's face and put together a great talk. That's just as spiritual. And I still absolutely believe that completely. But it's ironic, in my first preach since my dad passed away, that this is what God seems to be saying. So really, I think, when you actually look at these, the whole of the reading that we've just gone through, what you see is, not just in the passage about building on the rock instead of the sand, you see a theme through this teaching that Jesus was giving of two ways that Jesus sets up for life to go. He talks about the narrow path and the broad path in life, and the fact that Jesus calls us who follow him to walk the narrow path. Not this guaranteed sort of name it and claim it, follow me and everything will be comfortable and easy and mansions in the skies kind of stuff, but actually a narrow path. One or the other. You can't be on both. You're on the narrow path or the broad path. And then Jesus goes to talk on in the next section about the trees that bear different fruit, the trees that bear good fruit and the trees that bear bad fruit. And a tree that is decaying and dead can't bear good fruit. A tree that is well watered, well nourished, well fed bears good fruit. You don't have a tree that's a bit of good and a bit of bad. And then he goes on to talk, particularly in this, you know, the passage we're going to focus specifically on this morning, about this whole concept of building on a solid foundation. We either build on the rock or we build on sand. We don't build our house, we don't build our lives on a bit of both. We build on the rock or the sand. And so I wonder for us in our own personal lives, in our own relationships with God, and again, I've been really encouraged this morning by the words that have been coming and the worship songs that have been chosen that fit so well. It seems to me the bottom line, the simple, deep truth this morning is that simplicity of him alone, Jesus alone. That simplicity of building our lives on worshiping and loving God and doing whatever he asks us to do, whatever goes on around us, whatever the consequences and outcome of those things are. The root of Christian faith, the solid rock foundation of our lives is Jesus Christ, is knowing him, serving him, and following him. And that's easy to say. It's easy to spout up the front here. It's easy to say amen in a church service too. It's when the rubber hits the road on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday in the real busy, hectic randomness of life that comes to show the fruit we're bearing, that comes to show where our foundations are. And you know, God never comes ever to condemn. He loves us, he cares for us, he wants to encourage us and convict us to live more for him. So this message this morning, there's not any edge of guilt or condemnation or heaviness to be laid on anybody. I believe God wants to just encourage us and remind us and inspire us and challenge us again to be building our lives on the rock of Jesus rather than the stuff of this world. I know in my personal experience as a Christian, so I was raised from about the year naught, born to mummy over there. And mum and dad, you know, I had great parents who raised me in the church. I was raised going to Sunday school, going to church, experiencing the love of God, experiencing great Sunday school work, great teachers who've been a real blessing and a real inspiration to my life that I thank God for. So I've been raised kind of knowing God and coming to know God for myself through my teenage years. And I know for me, there came a real point in my life a few years back where for a number of years, God had been leading me and giving me opportunities to serve and use whatever gifts and talents I felt he'd given me. And I'd got involved with church youth work. I was involved at Kingfisher Church here in Gloucester for a number of years as a part-time youth worker. And I really loved it. This was in my kind of early mid-20s. I really loved the youth work. It was hard work. It was full on, but I loved it. And I got involved with working with other youth leaders here in Gloucester, trying to bring churches together and bring youth groups together in a movement called Refresh, it was called at the time. Because at that point, churches in Gloucester were just doing nothing together really very much. So we thought, at least we can get the youth doing something. And things seemed to be going pretty well. And then without boring you with all the details of it this morning, there came a point where I really felt, for other reasons, that God was saying my time in that youth ministry was coming towards a close, and that God had a new chapter for me and for Julie as a couple. I got to tell you, in that period of coming towards the end of being a youth worker, and in that period after that, the next few years, I really came to realize slowly but surely how much my rock in my life had become Steve Creswell, church youth worker. How much my rock had become not Jesus and my relationship with Jesus and my personal foundation on him, my personal faith in him and love for him and passion for him, that I'd lost. I'd still obviously was praying. I still was reading the Bible. I still was trying to be a good Christian and a good person, doing all the right things, you know, in many ways. It wasn't that I'd walked away from God, far from it, but I really realized that my confidence, my rock, my foundation had become far much more about what I was doing for God than about my relationship with God. And that my confidence in who I was as a person, my confidence in what I was all about and what I stood for was far too much about Steve the youth worker than Steve the child of God, the child of God. I realized my rock, the foundation I was building on, actually when it went, it was a bit sandy. You know, I was a Christian. I was building on that rock ultimately, but I was operating more out of my natural self than out of what God had called me to. And so I feel I want to bring that to us. I feel that that's one of the things I felt prompted in this message this morning, that as we dwell on this thought of what is the rock in our lives, who is the rock in our lives, what are the foundations of who we are as children of God? What is sand and what is rock? Are there things in our lives that might feel like they're really rock on, really rocking for Jesus, but actually they're a bit sandy? They're a bit shaky? If they were taken away, where would our relationship with God be? Where would our faith be? And again, as I say, this is not in a heavy way. This is not in a condemning way at all. Jesus never does that. It's just, I feel a challenge that God wants me to bring to myself and to all of us this morning. Who is your rock? What is your rock? What are you building on? Because your ministry is fantastic. If God's given you gifts and talents and abilities, use them with all your heart. Keep going with them. Use them. Express them. But they cannot be your rock. Because who knows when they'll come and go and what God will want to do with those things through you. If your rock is your career and your jobs, you know, if it's your role you've got in life, a particular role you've had for decades, that people know that you're that person who does that, and that's your identity, that's who you are, great. Be diligent in your work. Be faithful in your job. Honor God and serve God wholeheartedly in your work. But if that's your rock, then you're on shaky ground. It may feel like rock, but it's sand. It may be even that the sand of our lives can be actually, again, many of these things are good things, God-given things, beautiful things, but they shouldn't be the foundation for us. It may even be your relationships with your nearest and dearest, your closest, your partners, your children, your families that you love so deeply. And again, that is absolutely biblical, obviously, absolutely right, absolutely what God's called us all to do, to be devoted, honoring our children, honoring our families, honoring our parents, our wives, our husbands, etc. Absolutely, I'm not saying that. But if that's our rock, then when trouble comes, when bereavement comes, when difficulty comes in relationships, where is our rock? Again, those things, of course, when trouble comes, it's absolutely normal and right that those things are upsetting and tough and challenging and heartbreaking when relationships go wrong or when bereavement comes. Of course it's tough. Of course it's challenging. God knows that. God loves us. God is with us in those times, comforting us, strengthening us, helping us. But where do we go? Where do we turn when the storms come, when the storms rage, when life throws dung our way, when stuff goes pear-shaped? Are we building on sand of the people, the stuff of this life? Or are we building on the rock of Jesus Christ and our relationship with him driving everything we do? Because actually, again, I know I do, I'm sure many of you do, if you've been walking with Jesus a while, we can just, you know, so easily tie ourselves up in knots with all kinds of teachings and theologies and different ways of viewing things. And there's, all, again, absolutely a place for teaching and theology and getting into some of the wonderful, deeper things of the Bible. Completely brilliant to do. And yet sometimes it's so stunningly simple, as Colin's just shared. You know, Jesus, particularly there in verse 24, said this. This is the kind of crux of it all. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Again, we can make it sometimes unintentionally because of what life throws us so complicated. But anyone who listens to Jesus' teaching and follows it is wise and builds a house on solid rock. Put simply, if you're thrashing around of, oh, how can I get this right? How can I get in the right place with God so I'm building my life on the rock? The simple thing is, whatever he says to you, do it. When he says to you, Steve, get past your control freakery and planning and trust me and preach without notes, you do it, okay? Maybe with a lot of nervousness about it and concern, but... And there are many times I'm sure I can recall, probably even this week, there are many times I'm sure many of us could easily recall where we felt a prompting or a leading and we haven't followed that leading. We haven't followed that opportunity. Again, thankfully, we have a God of love. We have a God of compassion, a God of grace and mercy, never there with a big stick to beat us and condemn us. If you get those thoughts, if you get those feelings, they're not from God, they're from Satan. Get rid of them in Jesus' name. Cast them out. There is no condemnation for those who are called to Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation in Jesus, ever. There is love, grace, conviction to turn around. You know, that's what repentance is, isn't it? Repentance isn't just saying, oops, sorry, I did it again. Repentance is changing direction, turning around. I'm not going to go that way anymore. I'm going to turn around and go God's way. When God is speaking, when God is bringing things and situations to mind where perhaps we've let fear hold us back, perhaps where we've not known what to do or what to say and haven't stepped out and haven't been obedient in those situations, God doesn't come with, a big stick to beat us. He comes to say, turn around, repent, that's cool, that's fine, repent, and let's go again. Next time I prompt you in that situation at work, next time I prompt you in with those eggs with your neighbor who's a JW, next time I give you an opportunity in your neighborhood with your family, with your friends that you know are really antagonistic about Christianity, and you really wonder, oh, how will they respond if I say something? Next time you feel tempted to shrink back into yourself and not step out where God is leading you and prompting you, next time, go again, follow my instructions, step out, be obedient to my plans and my purposes. I'm reminded as we weigh this up this morning, there's a particular passage in Hebrews, again, a very famous passage about the great men and women of faith that God used throughout the Old Testament times and the incredible works that God did through. And there's a particular couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 11. It says this, all these people, so there's this massive list, as a lot of you know, I guess, of all these great men and women of faith who achieved incredible things for God. And yet it says this towards the end of Hebrews 11, verse 39 and 40. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. None of them received all that God had promised. What's the foundation of my life and my ministry? Is it seeing the outcome that I'm expecting fulfilled in my lifetime and being able to say, well, hey, look what God did because I stepped out? Or is it just, I love God, I'm going to do what he asks? And trust him with the fallout. Trust him with the details. Again, I can tell you from personal experience, I'm still learning that one, and I'm not great at it. Some of you know, Julie and I were foster carers for about 7.5 years, from 2008 to about 2015 sort of time. And I really felt a clear sense of God calling me and calling us to fostering. I remember I was away at one point on a youth training event or whatever, and I was driving back on the motorway praying and talking to God about what I'd heard. And this was the time we were talking and praying about fostering. And I really felt God remind me of the passage in the scripture talking about being a father to the fatherless. And I really felt God give me a personal conviction that was for me what he was calling me to do. You know, Julie had this calling and this leading towards fostering for years before we were married. It had never been something on my heart or my mind, but I knew God was speaking to me. I'm calling you to be a father to the fatherless. Oh, that's beautiful, Lord. Oh, so spiritual. This is going to be idyllic. We're going to have as a couple this wonderful ministry, and we're going to help all these children. It's going to be like the Waltons in our house or the Sound of Music. And God's called me to be a father to the fatherless. I'm obeying him, so it's going to be poetry. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Some of you have fostered or adopted. Others are very aware, I'm sure, that I can't stand here today having done it for 7 and a bit years. And particularly with the way things ended for us with fostering, it was really painful, really hard, and left us with a lot of questions, still today, with a lot of questions at times about, what was that all about, God? We did what you asked. We tried to really pour heart and soul into these young boys. Okay, I'm a Man United fan, but other than that, I'm all right. I'm not bad. You know, and I can't stand here with Disneyland stories to tell you. We got 3 lads particularly we fostered over the years for a number of years that we have varying levels of contact with and whose lives are in varying degrees of mess, really, as adults. I'd love to stand here with a 25-year ministry and a harem, not harem, that's the wrong word. That's the wrong word. Can you edit that on the... a family of children. Family of children that we've influenced, that we've helped, that we've served, that are going on great. You know, a couple of the lads came along to church stuff, that they're going on with Jesus, they're saved, they're passionate, they're ministering in the church now. Now, one of them's been in prison a while ago. You know, it's all over the place what's going on with their lives, even what we do know, let alone what we don't. But again, I've been reminded and challenged personally through this passage as I've been preparing for this morning, and again through that part of Hebrews. These folks who did these things, they stepped out, they had dreams and visions from God of what God was going to do through them. Well, hey, let's go for it. Many of them didn't even see the dream or vision fulfilled. They died before it even happened. And yet they continued to walk the walk. They continued to do God's will. They continued to step out and pursue faith in God, faith in Jesus, obedience to God, whatever the consequences along the way. I'm also just reminded of verses in James, which talks about the whole thing of our faith being shown by what we do. Yeah, here we go, James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You'll see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Do it. Thank you.